Joining Bottom Line Baseball, Jackie Moore, MLB coach legend. Jackie, thanks so much for coming on Bottom Line Baseball today. I'm Alex Fuse, and there's Jackson Ryan. Before we started recording, I said, I love your backdrop, and you said that when you are in the game of baseball, a lot of it brings back great memories. What's one of your favorite pieces of memorabilia that brings back one of your favorite moments?
Well, of course, 57 years in professional baseball, I could go down the list and probably take up all the time in the show, but you go back to, you know, your first call up at the world, you know, at Major League Baseball, your first base hit, you know, your World Series, series experience, and, you know, just having the opportunity to be around baseball as long as I was capable of doing.
Mm-hmm. Jackie, you're obviously a bench coach as well as a manager. What's your favorite memory of that 2000 season in Round Rock, the first year of the Round Rock Express?
Well, you know, I think we've all in life had to make a decision. You didn't know whether it was the right decision or what, but I was thinking about retiring then. And of course, you know, the rumor was out, which did happen, that the Ryan Sanders family was putting together, you know, the club in Round Rock. And so they asked me if I would have an interest in managing the club, you know, your grandfather and your father and right on down Jay Miller and a bunch of people. I'm thinking that, man, I've got all this time in baseball. I mean, I'm used to staying at the Richmond and flying around in private jets, and they're asking me to come to double A ball and, you know, bus it all around Amarillo, El Paso, and, you know, eat beef jerky after the game at 7-Eleven or something. So anyway, I made a decision. I said, I'll do it for 1 year, you know, and it was the best decision, one of the best decisions I ever made, because that 1 year turned into 8. And it was meant to be. You know, you could not have written a better script than the time that we had in Round Rock. And, you know, that we got off to a pretty tough start. We opened the season in El Paso, and I think we lost the first 4 games. And, of course, in the clubhouse, we didn't have hot water. You know, we were taking cold showers. And Bert Hooten was my pitching coach, had a lot of years with the Dodgers. And of course, I'd look at Bert and he'd look at me and I'd go, Bert, do you think we made the right decision here or what? You know, and your grandfather, you know, Nolan was calling, your dad was calling, said, hey, hang in there. It's going to get better, you know, and all this. And I'm thinking, well, you're not here taking these cold showers. But trust me, it got better. It got a whole lot better. We end up, you know, obviously winning the Texas League Championship. The community of Round Rock came together every night, 10,000-11,000 people at the ballpark, ball game. And it was just, you could not have written a better script. You know, everything happened, you know, in Round Rock. That, you know, we were the talk of baseball, although we were a minor league club, we were the talk of baseball for a lot of years. And so I definitely made the right decision. And then you go back and you look at it. And I think, one of the stories that kind of sums it all up, Phil Garner, he was the manager of the Astros, and he had a friend, a coach, or what, that was looking for a job, and he called Phil and said, you know, I'd like to get back in baseball. I'm looking for a job. Could you help me? And Phil tells this story himself, and he goes, well, you know, my coaches are doing a great job. I don't have an opening for you. He goes, oh, no, not the Astros. He said, I want to go to Round Rock, coach. So that kind of sums it up, but we had a great situation, and here again, you could not have written a better script. And, you know, you have the opportunity, all these young players come in. You're basically the father away from home for them. And so with the opportunity to not only make men out of them, but also, you know, advance them in their talent or get to the big leagues. And all the time I was around baseball, I had, a lot of thrills, a lot of, you know, all-star games that I went to, World Series or what. But one of my biggest thrills in Round Rock, being in my position as manager, is to call a young player in after the Astros had called and said, we're going to call up this young player. And I'd call him in after the game was over, and they had no idea why I was calling the office. And I would explain to them, the Astros had called. Now your dream has come true. You go into the big leagues. And most of them would sit and look at me. They call me Skip, and they go, Skip, are you kidding me? And I said, I wouldn't kid you about something like this. And they would go, what do I do? You know, what? I said, well, First of all, you call your mom and dad. If you're married, you call your wife and or your girlfriend or what. I said, you get all this out of the way. But the most important thing, you better be in Houston tomorrow by 3 o'clock or they're going to find you. And so anyway, it was part of it. And I was put in a great situation that my mindset was that's where I was going to retire. And then, of course, the Astros called me and they wanted me to come to the big leagues and be the bench coach for Cecil Cooper, which I did. I was there a year. And Nolan calls. He took over the Rangers. And, of course, my home was here in Arlington with all the years I was with the Rangers and I had left. And Nolan asked me if I wanted to come back, you know, with the Rangers to be the bench coach for Ron Washington, which I did, and get to live at home. And, you know, it was just a good situation. And we basically had the best situation in baseball, you know, from the time that Nolan was in charge. We go to the playoffs 4 consecutive years, 2 World Series. And so it all fell in place for me.
So, Jackie, when you were talking back when you first made the decision to go to Round Rock, you said at first you weren't really sure if this was the right move for you. But looking back on it now, you said you couldn't have written a better script. When did you realize, was it during your time in Round Rock or was it after your time in Round Rock that you truly enjoyed and you thought and knew that it was the best decision for you?
Well, I think each season, you know, it fell in place for me and my coaching staff. The excitement of the fans, the community, you could see it all coming together. Success that we had there, that we all grew together. You know, the community of Round Rock, the Express, ourselves, the coaching staff, the young players, the families would take the players in, let them live with them. You know, it was just such a great situation, the excitement. And so it... I can't actually say it was one moment, but I can say it was every day it was exciting coming and every year coming to the ballpark and just the excitement that not only the community, but our success on the field and just enjoyed, you know, the game of baseball. And most important thing is watching these young players develop, not only as a player, as I said before, as young men.
For people that don't understand what the bench coach does, what is the biggest thing a bench coach does to help a manager out?
Well, actually, another set of eyes. You know, the game of baseball, there's a lot of little decisions. I say little decisions, a lot of big decisions to make. And it's just really a whole lot for one person, you know, to be in charge of that throughout 9 innings of a ball game. So, obviously, it's a different set of eyes, mindset, things that we go over before the game that – that we need to do if this happens or what. We don't want a situation to come up and not be prepared for it. And it's a close relationship that here again, that you just want to be prepared. You want to make sure that whatever the game situation or the game calls on you, that you prepared for it. And so, you know, it's a combination that anything you can do, you know, to win ball games and be successful and just not sit there and wait for the situation to develop. And then you sit in there and go, do we have to get so-and-so up, get loose or some pitcher to bullpen or what? It's just preparation and just be prepared for what the game asks for you.
9 out of 10 times when a manager gets thrown out of a game, the bench coach steps up and is acting manager. Did Ron Washington ever get thrown out of a game? And was there ever a moment? I'm always intrigued. Like, what really happens when a manager is thrown out of a game? Does he kind of hang around the dugout, or is it completely up to the bench coach in that role?
Well, it's both, really. In a lot of cases, that obviously the manager's out of the game, and, of course, you take the lineup card and you're in charge of it. A lot of managers will go back to the clubhouse and watch the game on TV. Some of them will go up, you know, in the runway and not necessarily telling you, you know, how to run the game or do this or do that. But they're excited. And, of course, you know, they realize that they don't go up and take a shower, take the clothes off and go home. You know, they are still a part of it. And so it's a combination that a bench coach and a manager spends numerous hours together. And this is before the game, during the game or what. And so bench coach is just the extension of the manager. And you know his ideas, you know, over a period of time, how he runs a ball game, you know, how, what he wants to do. And so basically you just, you continue the game plan of what the manager, we all put together before the game starts.
You brought up Ron Washington as well as Mike Maddox. What's your favorite memory with those Texas Rangers team, and especially with those two?
Well, it was here again, it situation, I don't think could have been much better. You know, had your grandfather at the top, you know, Nolan, and right on down, you know, from the top, you know, to the manager, to the club. We had a great communicator during Ron Washington with the players. You know, he had this ability that, to me, the most important thing that a manager can do, everyone knows how to make out a lineup card or when to bunt or what. I'm speaking of managers. And but if you can, as a manager, if you can convince your team or they have enough respect for you that they play hard for you for nine innings, well, you might not have the best talent in the league, but you're over our schedule, a schedule that we play, you're going to beat a lot of clubs that have, you know, more talent than you do. And that was one really strong point, just only one. Wash had a lot of ability and did a great job managing. And he really let his coaching staff be involved. And we just had a great combination. Of course, Mike Maddox, one of the better pitching coaches in baseball then, and also now he's, you know, with the Cardinals now. To me, that situation that with the Rangers, the years that we spent together there, playoffs 4 years in a row, over 90 wins, two World Series. Unfortunately, we didn't win one of them, but we'll go back to that game six, you know, in St. Louis that we should have won.
Do you remember the first time you met Nolan Ryan?
Well, it was across the field, you know, that, of course, you know, it, I would be a visiting or opposing club. And of course, being in that situation, you just hope that you would hit a series where Nolan wasn't pitching against you. And so anyway, it, you realize, and of course, a lot of the players, especially the hitters, you know, they'd look in a lineup and, you know, say Nolan's pitching. And it was a mystery of some of these little injuries that showed up that they couldn't play on the night that Nolan was pitching. And I can't say that I blamed them, you know, that that was definitely 0-for-4 or 0-for-5. But anyway, it obviously crossed the field, and then, of course, had that relationship. Then we were, you know, Round Rock, the Rangers. And so, yeah, it great career, great man, great family. And so just came back from his ranch in Junction, had a chance to spend, you know, 4 days down fishing. And not many people can say that, you know, they come down, spend 4 days with the Ryan family, out fish him and have him cook steaks for you, you know, Nolan Ryan beef. And so, you know, I'm going pretty good at this present time.
Jackie, you also talked about, you know, like today's game, how there's so many three true outcome guys and there's not as much putting the ball in play. But can you talk about how important it is to put the ball in play and to bunt and the hit and run and all of those things that win you ball games?
Well, needless to say, at my age and all my experience in baseball, that you'd say I'm definitely from the old school. And I see some things going on nowadays in baseball that, you know, shake my head at and go, what in the world? You know, obviously I'm not part of it anymore, but being around as long as I was around, at least I have the, you know, I should have an opinion. And my opinion now is that, there's a lot of things going on, you know, in baseball that you you wonder why, you know, that when they say it's okay to strike out, well, I totally disagree with that, because I would love to go back in my career and just see how many games that we won over those years just by putting the ball in play, you know, right situation, infield back, runner third base, fly ball, and just so many things can happen when the ball's in play, you know, throwing errors or whatever. I could go on and on. And of course, when you strike out, you do one thing, you know, you hang your head and walk back to the dugout. Nothing happens. The next hitter comes up, but, and hang time and all this, it just, my idea is that play the game, you know, the game will dictate to you what goes on, you know, sure, there's a lot of, you know, that, nowadays that, some of their stats and things that, you know, are helpful, we always went over the same thing, you know, in meetings before the game, and which is normal. But bottom line, and I will argue this, that, you know, you put, it's a people's business. You know, you put uniforms on people. You don't put them on computers. And if that, that kind of sums it up to me. And so anyway, it, I'll say this, you know, I look at some of these shifts and somewhere else, it's some cases necessary, but when I came through it against hitters like Pete Rose, Rod Carew, you know, Tony Gwynn, you were never gotten them out. They would hit 500 every year, just hitting the ball the other way, you know, putting the ball in play, base hits. And so anyway, it, it's just playing the game, let the game dictate to you what's going to happen.
Jack, you make a great point. I mean, analytic teams literally have said publicly that you can strike out and that's what we want. You know, we're not going to be mad if you strike out, which is crazy to think about. When you were with the Rangers in your last year, did you ever think in 10 years from now, this is where the game would be?
Not really. I could see it coming, you know, in a lot of air. I didn't realize it would be, you know, to this extreme. And to be honest with you, we fought it off as long as we could. A lot of it we got in trouble over, you know, with people above us. But we felt like that we knew how to play the game. We knew how to handle players. We would learn the talent on our club, that what it would take for us the best chance to win games, and we would apply that. And here again, the most important thing that Ron Washington and I think his coaching staff was learn the respect of the players, our long schedule. We had a lot of talent, but, you know, that talent doesn't come into play if not the ball game, or they don't want to play. And I'll say this, that the players that we had, our clubhouse chemistry, that a lot of people don't understand how important that history, clubhouse chemistry is, that you get your players to go out there every day, give you a good nine innings, you're going to win a lot of ball games, and you're going to win a lot of clubs that have more talent than you do.
Do you think we would ever get back to the game like how it used to be played?
I hope so, to some extent. I hope that pendulum will swing the other way. I think they will get to the point that they don't try to determine the outcome of the game before it starts, you know, that go up and just let the players play. And I understand that there's some areas that obviously that learn from stats or what. I mean, that's a big important of it, but it's still a people's business. You know, they put the uniforms on, they have the numbers on their back, and they make everything happen, you know. And to me, it's a lot more exciting ball game, you know, to see a squeeze play or a bunt in the right situation, tying, winning, running second base, and, you know, trying to win the ball game. And so it's a good game of chess, you know. And so here again, you put those uniforms on players, you don't put them on computers.
Jackie, obviously there was a 60-game season last year, and it's 162 now, going back to what it used to be. How did you guys keep players motivated during those long stretches where you'd have 13 games in 14 days and make sure that they were ready to go each and every day?
Well, that's a great question. And, of course, you know, they're all individuals. You know, they have their own makeup, their identity, and which they're entitled to. And, you know, they have their ups and downs. And but once they get to the ballpark, you get to learn, you know, that their attitudes or, you know, that their pluses or minuses. And you can't treat them all the same way. You know, that you got to realize that, you know, you handle individuals in different ways, that there's a time to pat them on the back or a time to kick them in behind. And you don't want to be kicking them in behind when they need a pat on the back. And so it doesn't matter the superstars or the 25th player on the team, you know, they're a big part of the club. And our job as a manager or a coach is every day, you know, that the communication part of it, just find out if there's some little problem or a little something that needs to be addressed, and don't let them sit in the clubhouse where it festers or whatever. Give them an opportunity to explain this and communicate with them. And it doesn't matter how much money they make or, you know, how long they've been around. Here again, you know, they're all human. We all have our ups and downs, you know, the little quirks. But and it's every day, you know. It one day you see a player come in, his head hung, and you find out Next, you speak to him, and of course, you saw that the next day it's another individual, you know, same on. And so it's just getting to know your players, your clubhouse chemistry. And there was a lot of players on our club, you know, with the Rangers throughout, well, other clubs also, that they're a big influence on their teammates, their, you know, their team leaders. And it sure helps the manager and the coaches.
How often would you learn something from the players you coached?
I think I learned something every day, you know, about the time you think, you know, not every day, but by the time you think you have it all figured out, you know, something to come up and, you know, you go, I don't think I've ever seen that before, you know. And so just about the time you think you've seen it all or know it all or whatever, that little white rat, you know, that baseball show you that, you know, well, this can happen and you might want to get an answer for it the next time, you know, this shows up. So you can't come to the ballpark every day with a closed mind thinking that what happened yesterday or what it took to win a game, you know, yesterday, that same situation is going to come up, you know, in this particular game. So you prepare for it, you know, all your stats, you think that you have it all prepared. And then all once that game starts and that ball in all different directions. And so you hang on, you know, and hopefully do the right things to win a ball game.
How important is winning at the minor league level to help get those players up to the major league so they have that winning culture within an organization?
Well, I think it's huge. You know, first of all, that by being, you know, minor league manager those years, that obviously, you know, teaching how to play, you know, the fundamental part of it. But to me, a big fundamental part of it is obviously you don't want to hurt a player, you know, to win a ball game in the minor league level. But you also want this player to go out and play nine innings for you and finish the ball game, you know, with a win or, you know, a smile on their face. And there's nothing, well, I guess there's a lot of things, but knowing how to win is such a huge, you know, plus in our business. And if you can get these minor leaguers to realize that, what it takes to win a ball game, do all the little things, you know, if you can learn how to do the little things in baseball, it's much easier for the, you know, the big things to fall in place for you. And it's something that not only you teach your young players, you know, the fundamental part of it, but also what it takes to win a ball game. Do the little things, hit the cutoff man, put a bunt down at the right time, you know, steal a base, you know, hit behind a runner, you know, it all adds up. And all these little things, you know, help you, you know, come off the field, you know, winning a ball game.
What's the biggest thing that you learned from not only just coaching baseball, but also playing it?
Well, I think the ups and downs, you know, that I know as a young player, I signed out of Baylor High School, you know, in Houston. Out of high school, I signed with the Detroit Tigers in 57. And I thought I was going to be the next Mickey Mantle or Yogi Berra or whatever. You know, I'd go to the minor leagues, you know, for a year and what, but anyway, that didn't happen. You know, they gave me $4,000 to sign, and I thought 1957, I could live off at $4,000 the rest of my life, you know. And a lot of this is a wake-up call, but it built a great, you know, foundation. I finally made it to the Detroit Tigers. I was the opening day catcher in 1964, and I made $7,000. And I tell that story, you know, nowadays, and they go, you mean for that $7,000 for opening day? And I said, no, that $7,000 was for the year, you know, and they look at me and go, are you serious? And I said, no. I said, no, the sad part of it, a lot of people thought I was overpaid, you know, but back then, you know, you didn't have free agency, and, you know, 67, you know, was a long time ago, and, you know, a lot of great things, free agency come along, and, but you learn, you know, that, the adjustment, you learn that, you know, you're not going to have a good game every game. You know, you win, you're happy, and when you lose, you go in a hitting slump. You know, you obviously try to find ways to, you know, get out of it. But it's up and down. Baseball is like life. You know, one day you're on top of the game. Next day, you know, you go 0-4. It might be a week you go, you know, 0-10 or what. And you better learn to live with it. You better, you know, mentally, you know, which is one of the biggest assets of, you know, professional sports, mentally, you better learn how to handle it.
What was your biggest adjustment period going from playing to coaching?
My batting average. that made a young coach out of me. You know, being an ex-catcher, I felt like I could handle a pitching staff. I could run a game behind the plate. A lot of people in the organization felt the same way. And they loved to see me with my catching gear on and go behind the plate. But when I picked up the baseball bat, you know, they looked the other way a little bit. You know, they crossed their fingers. And so I made that decision as far as a player. Like I say, I played with Detroit and Boston. And so 1967, they gave me the opportunity to, you know, to rove the Boston organization as catching instructor and then manage Jamestown, New York, a rookie club. And that was a big decision for me because I really was tired of going up and down, you know, AAA to big league, you know, for a couple of weeks, go back to AAA. And so I was offered the opportunity, and that opportunity turned out great for me. And instead of maybe getting 4 years, you know, as a player, I end up, you know, 57 years and 37 years at the major league level.
Jackie, this is our favorite part of the show. It's a fast five quick round. It's five quick questions, and you have however long to take to answer them. I'll go first. The first one for me is, if you could go back in time and you could choose a manager that you never got to coach with, who would you choose and why?
Well, I don't have to think about this because as long as I was around, real quick, Whitey Herzog, Dave Bristol, you know, Billy Martin, Lou Piniella, Dick Williams, Don Baylor, Buck Rogers. I mean, these are managers that I coached under. I was so fortunate that not only to be under these managers as a coach, but they made a heck of a lot better coach out of me.
What was your favorite what is your favorite fishing moment?
My favorite what?
Fishing moment.
Oh, when I fish your grandfather, you know, I have to be real careful for there because, you know, every year we get, Joy and my wife and I get invited down, you know, to Fort Terrett. And I have to be real careful to make sure that I usually catch the largest fish, but I always tell Nolan that he caught the largest fish because I'm afraid he won't invite me back if I, you know, start, you know, showing him up too often.
Oh, that's great. That's great. The third one for me, it kind of goes into that. My first question, what was the craziest time one of the managers you coach with got thrown out of a game?
Well, that happened so many times that, you know, it's kind of hard to put a finger on it. I think one of the craziest times, you know, that me as a player, coach, I should say, is Texas when they had the 10-cent beer night in Cleveland, you know, that they had the right, you know, and we'd had a previous fight, you know, in Texas with Cleveland, and then we go to Cleveland, and normally there's about 10,000 people at the most, you know, at the ballpark. Well, the announcer's advertising, come out to the game, and this is get even with the Rangers, 10-cent beer night. And you cannot, you know, you go back and look at it, that we actually had to take bats out on the field to get our right fielder, you know, Jeff Burrows. So that was the last 10-cent beer night in professional baseball. And, of course, Billy Martin was our manager at the time. And, of course, Billy, you know, he was John Wayne. He took, you know, Calvary and let's go, you know, our bats and get Jeff Burrows back in the dugout.
What is your favorite MLB stadium?
You know, they're all my favorite. If you spent as many years in minor leagues that I spent in there, there's no such thing as, you know, a bad major league ballpark. And so I've been asked that a lot to go, you know, that you look at the old, you know, Fenway Park, the old Yankee Stadium and all the great memories of what, you look at some of the modern day ballparks that, you know, you walk in now. And I can remember back when there was no TVs in the clubhouse. You didn't have food in there. It was never catered to you. You know, you might have a little, you know, peanut butter, a piece of, you know, bread or something. And now you walk in these modern day clubhouses. It's just, you have your own separate locker. You have your own TV. You have your own, you know, network, you know, and they're just gorgeous ballparks. Trust me, they're beautiful. And so, but I don't think there's anyone, you know, that basically there's no place in baseball that you go, you say, I don't like to be here at the major league level.
And the last one for me, who was the funniest player you ever coached?
Well, I could go back, maybe Larry Walker, Colorado. I could maybe Galarraga, you know, also. they all had this humor. I could go on and on. You know, Billy Ripken, you know, he was on our club of Texas. I mean, they're all great, you know. They keep the club loose. So there's just, and it's a time for that, you know, that before the game starts and they're great loosening their players up. But it's amazing how they can go from, you know, they're being a comedian to put their game face on, and they know when to do this. So anyway, it's just a lot of little things that make up the game of baseball to prepare yourself for when the game starts.
Jackie, and we always like to end our podcast on this question. If a 15-year-old were to come up to you and say, I hate baseball, I'm boring, I'm never going to watch it again, what would you say to that kid to get them interested in the game?
Well, something has happened there that throughout whether he plays, you know, select ball or whatever type of ball that he's playing, that something has happened to put him in his, you know, mindset. And so obviously I would try to ask, you know, why do you feel this way? Why is your attitude this way? Because, you know, the game of baseball is so great. It gives you the opportunity to go outside, you know, to compete, you know, teammates, and just learn how to play the game of baseball and compete. And if baseball or youth baseball, under the circumstances nowadays of our, if we ever needed youth baseball, then now is the time that that we need to get the young players outside, get them back playing, competing, share, and work on a mental aspect of the game, and just, you know, back to living their life the way they should.
Well, Jackie, we want to say thanks so much for taking the time today to come on Bottom Line Baseball. Always great to catch up with you.
Could I say one thing about your co-host there, Jackson? I mean, do we have time that, you know,
sure.
Round Rock, that, you know, his father, Reed, would always come into the clubhouse before the ball game and bring Jackson with him. You know, he's 4 or 5 years old. And, of course, he had his own little stool there in my clubhouse, a little desk. So I'd be making out the lineup card, and I'd pass Jackson the lineup card. He's 4 or 5 years old. He would just scribble on the lineup card, you know, and like he's making out the lineup. Well, this goes on for 3, 4, 5 years. And I had a young player, Jason Lane, that was just tearing the league up, you know, Astro, you know, outfielder. He was hitting home runs every night or what. So now Jackson comes in. I hand him a lineup card. And when he making out the lineup card, he goes, Jason Lane leading off. Jason Lane hitting second. Jason Lane hitting third. He goes all 9 spots of Jason Lane because, you know, of the way he's playing. And I think, well, you know, this kid's going to go well in baseball. He's going to go a long ways because he's paying attention.
That's amazing.
Jackson,
that's
did you great. Remember that, Jackson?
Yeah, and then you allowed me to make out a own lineup card and you used it. And I believe we won that game, if I remember correctly, when I was about 7 or 8.
Well, we did win the game, you know. And so anyway, hey, it like I say, it didn't take long to realize that baseball was your life.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, thanks again, Jackie, for doing it. We appreciate you.
Hey, anytime. So phone call away.